witches three gather together in the dark, dark woods. Mm-hmm. All of the winter wonderland around us. And let me be honest, this robe's a little drafty, so I'm sort of chilly in the underside of my little bit of witchiness.
Creepy.
Creepy. That's what witches are.
We need to know that.
Witches are creepy.
We live in the woods.
We get
paid by the creep.
I spent one summer after college living in a city. Very witchy, but a different kind of witchy, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We don't have time for that. Keep going.
Yes, okay. Let me finish my incantation. As we gather around our big old bucket of stuff that we're going to do spells in.
Cauldron?
Hold on. Cauldron, that's the word I know.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that was a bit from a couple of...
Bucket of stuff.
Bucket of stuff. We've got our little mop or whatever that we ride on.
That's a broomstick.
I don't know. And as we get ready to cast our spell, we raise our pretzel rods up to the sky to begin us.
You know what? I ate my wand again.
You do that a lot.
Yeah, Pete always eating his own wand, if you know what I mean.
Well, if we're using pretzel rods, it's going to get eaten.
You're like a deer. You got to get your salt, right?
It's good. See, you clearly live in nature. You know about deers. Deer like
yourself. Yeah, I live in the woods. It's creepy. There's deers. It's beautiful. I don't know. Lots of things going on. And there were a lot of things going on in this episode of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Chapter 34, The Returned. That's what we're going to be talking about here on Chilling Podcast of Sabrina. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And, oh boy, this is a big episode. Lots of stuff went down. Lots of fun Easter eggs and weird things happening. I love this episode. This was
great
music. Wild and all over the place. So much fun.
It was. And the character of Dorcas is the ultimate Easter egg, technically.
Yeah!
Right?
Because I was building up to that.
It's something you didn't notice in the background, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I think that's Dorcas.
Our Dorcas podcast now.
This is great. For those of you who don't know, because it has been a while, this podcast actually started as a podcast called Dorcas Dish.
Yep.
And slowly turned to be about Sabrina. Is that the name, Justin?
Yes, as the okay. sort of Sabrina guy. Yeah, I'll handle the Sabrina stuff.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. But yeah, she's back this episode. Dorcas is back. It's very exciting. Everybody's very happy to see her. And really, I think she is the savior of Greendale, is what I would call her.
Agreed.
Yes, I think
that's
really
the biggest part of the episode. This is really, if you want to go into weird small details that nobody cares about, we can talk about other stuff. But I feel like the Dorcas part.
I feel like we've kind of hit a high talking about Dorcas returning, and we can kind of wrap up from there for the podcast. I think we're good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, let's
okay,
put
if you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out.
Hey, we'll didn't it used to be 8 p.m.?
It did.
Okay,
yes.
Just checking. We've been in lockdown in a while. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't crazy.
At one point it was at 7:30, Pete.
I don't think that ever happened.
No, it definitely did. We were doing it for 7:30. It was very weird.
This conversation is the Dorcas of our podcast.
Yeah! All right, let's get into talk about some recap before we actually get into the episode proper, because, as usual, lots of stuff going on the show. Main things you need to know, though, is there are a bunch of villains called the Eldritch Terrors who are attacking Greendale. We are well in the back half of the Eldritch Terrors. There's 8 of them total. And in this episode, we get The Returned, which we'll talk about in a moment. Meanwhile, kind of important to know, because this is where we start off, there are two Sabrinas. There's Sabrina Morningstar, who's been living in Hell. There's Sabrina Spellman, who's been living in Greendale. Sabrina Morningstar went through a magic mirror to visit another Eldritch Terror called the Cosmic last episode in order to save everybody in Greendale. As we find out, she hasn't quite saved everybody quite yet. We also don't know what happened to her since she ended up in original Sabrina the Teenage Witch sitcom land, which is something that happened towards the end of the episode. She stays off screen, but still, Sabrina Spellman is worried about her. Not too worried. Because she's getting her bone on, if you know what I mean, with old Nick Scratch.
It's Nick Scratch season, and everybody's gathering around the mistletoe. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Sabrina's got an itch, and only Nick can scratch it.
Oh, come on.
Only Nick can scratch the itch, and only Sabrina can itch the scratch. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Nick Scratch.
Yeah, she lost her virginity to Nick Scratch last episode, and they're still getting hot and heavy this episode. He decided she was endgame, and it looks like she agrees. Though we have two episodes left, so we'll see what happens, I guess.
And it's funny, because we're so close to endgame of this show, so it would make sense that you're building... It is literally endgame. Yes, endgame all around.
So that's going on. Meanwhile, probably important to know that Mambo Marie... who is Aunt Zelda's girlfriend, Prudence and Roz are all the new weird sisters, replacing the old weird sisters, who were Prudence, Agatha, and Dorcas. Dorcas died in the last part of the series.
Supposedly.
She definitely did. The plot of this episode is
She's back in this episode, so I don't know.
The dead return.
Well, in fact, Agatha, her sister, killed her after she was driven crazy by Father Blackwood and a couple of other people. She still has been crazy this entire time, except for a brief moment of lucidity in an alternate universe that we saw last episode, I think. Yep. I don't know. Yep. Yeah, a lot happens on this show.
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, no, no. It was two episodes back. Because, yeah, last episode was the cosmic, and the episode before that was the perverse. Right?
Damn it. That's right. Yeah, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah, there we go. Regardless, Agatha briefly regained her sanity, but has been crazy. Meanwhile, there's Lilith, who is not queen of hell, but she wants to be the queen of hell. She killed her own baby and tried to serve it up to Lucifer last episode. She's having some regrets about it this episode.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Caliban, who is Sabrina Morningstar's husband, is a madman out of clay. He's kind of had it in for Lilith the entire time, and he really wants the throne of hell himself. Lucifer does not like anybody. He is the devil. He's not a big fan of generally people. Hilda is...
Real quick, Alex, so just for the recap, could you quickly describe Caliban's balls?
Oh my God.
It's an important part of the show.
Sure, that's a great point. And I say point because they're not pointy at all, like regular balls, right, guys?
Oh my God. What?
Right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
no.
Sharp, no, just angular. Like sharp. No.
Please move sort of on.
Almost stupid. Dangerous to touch.
Yeah, they're smooth and round and very big as well.
It's shockingly large.
Yes, he probably grew them back by this point. Lucifer, as I was saying, doesn't like anybody. Also, we should mention the humans that orbit around Sabrina. There is Theo. Theo turned away his boyfriend Robin last episode. Robin is a hobgoblin. Rob Goblin. There we go.
I like Rob Goblin though too.
Rob Gobs.
Went back to the land of the fairy forever, except for he's back this episode.
Yes.
Very long absence from the show, but he left to escape the Eldritch Terrors along with the rest of the fairy folk. There's also Harvey, who has been dating Roz. Harvey is in a band called the Fright Club. His dad doesn't approve of anything, doesn't approve of his band, doesn't approve of his artistic career, doesn't approve of his choice of girlfriends. He doesn't like anything. He's a minor, and he's grumpy.
Yeah, he is grumpy. And if he were one of the seven dwarves, which also worked in mines, he would be, I guess, probably grumpy.
Yes. I think that's absolutely true. He does sleep quite a bit as well.
Yeah, he does seem
sneezy. Has he ever sneezed?
Not to my knowledge, but that's a good thing to watch out for. I guess that's another Dorcas-style Easter egg.
Mm. Also, see if you can spot any miner who is a doc.
Mm.
That's another one of the seven dwarfs.
Can we move the fuck on, please?
Nope. Got to name all seven dwarfs. We haven't got there yet.
See if we can, and we'll name them all throughout the show in sort of an Easter egg situation. That should make you happy.
Yeah, there you go. So those are the main things you need to know. We'll get to a couple of other things later. Oh, yeah, I guess we should also mention that Father Blackwood had his head chopped off and his body severed and rotting and has been brought to the occult school for witches. And they've been torturing him to try to find out information about the Eldritch Terrors.
I'm surprised how little that plays into this episode.
It is weird. Yes, Pete.
Auntie Z used to have a dog. You should mention that.
Oh, Vinegar Tom, yes. We did get Vinegar Tom brought up for the first time, I want to say, last episode.
Yep.
But it pays off this episode.
Or it could be two episodes ago. We have a hard time keeping track.
Sure, exactly. So we start, as most episodes do, with the morning after. Sabrina is waking up after her night of passion with original bad boy Nick Scratch. She's looking in the mirror. She is mourning what happened to Sabrina Morningstar. And most of this is set up. I think this is a reminder of what happened to the last episode. We get that. We get Ambrose explaining that the cosmos is kind of paused at the moment. The cosmic, excuse me, is paused.
But still coming.
But still coming.
Still happening.
Which is confusing, but I think we've got to move from there.
Well, it's interesting that all of the other Elders' Terrors, they sort of beat and sort of put somewhere. And they have them imprisoned.
Like a dollhouse or something.
Yeah, but the cosmos still coming. Or in a light bulb, a very safe place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I keep most of my stuff in a light bulb.
Yeah, it's true.
Smart.
My change and things.
Smart.
Yeah. I know.
So, Alex, Sabrina's...
Alex, can you break a 20? Sure. Crash, 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 crash.
So Sabrina's trying to say it's all her fault.
Yes, and as usual, it pretty much is, kind of.
Yes.
But the other thing that we get is we get Hilda checks in on Lilith. And this is classic Archieverse material here. Lilith is pretending that Adam is real and, in fact, has a doll. Now,
a creepy-ass doll, not just a regular doll. That is a creepy-ass doll.
All dolls are pretty creepy.
Mm. Right. So should we rank the creepy dolls of the Archieverse? We got, oh my gosh, what was his name? Julian? Was it Julian Blossom over in Riverdale?
Yes. The third sibling.
So between the sailor-suited Julian and Lilith's Adam doll, which is creepier? Pete, you're our creepy expert.
I'm going to say the Riverdale one is the creepiest.
Because
there was a while where we thought that doll was actually killing people. Yeah.
We?
Yeah, we. All of us. We, all three of
we
us.
We all did. All three of us.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, that's the final word. Prudence checks in on Agatha, discovers she's still crazy. That's mainly, I think, a reminder of what's going on with Agatha. And then we get the big first Easter egg of the episode. This was super fun and definitely is going to raise a lot of questions, I think, for people in terms of continuity and everything. But the Fright Club is practicing over at school, and in walks a band called the Stoned Philosophers.
Oh.
Now, if you watched Riverdale...
Oh, man, when he walked in, I was like, what?
Well, it's all three of them. It's Brett Weston Wallace. It's Sarah Desjardins, who plays... My God, why can't I remember anybody's name today? But it's the three of them. It's not Jonathan, who still gets the short shrift from the Stonewall gang over at Riverdale, but it's the other three of them wearing cool glasses and like beatnik shirts.
It looks like their band sucks, for the record, though. It looks like they create awful music.
Possibly. But they do come in. They later die in the episode, very similar to how Ben died in the first part of Sabrina, or seemed to die in the first part of Sabrina, making everybody like, huh, how does this fit in with Riverdale? And I think the answer is it doesn't. It does.
I think
like,
it's just fun, and it's fun to have these characters come here only to die.
Yeah, also it makes me happy that their whole band died. That was a real nice moment.
Jonathan's still out there somewhere. He's probably their band manager being like, why didn't they show up?
Yeah, I got a big record contract for them. I think it's funny that they're competing in the Battle of the Bands later on against the Fright Club, and there's such a rehearsal space is such a premium at Greendale
man.
At Baxter High. Who knew? Because later on, when a satanic band shows up, it's like trying to get that rehearsal space, that precious rehearsal
space. There's got to be somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
Right? There's Harvey's Garage. And there's the room at school, and that's pretty much it.
And then there's a shady barn that some people like to burn down for no reason. You know what I mean?
Well, that burned down, so you can't really play there anymore.
That's true. Good point.
But yeah, super fun to see them, even though the way that I look at it, and I think we've talked about this before, is it's like the comics, right? Like they exist in parallel. They both exist. They don't erase each other or cross over in any way, but it's cool. And probably the same thing if we had ever gotten a part five. Imagine it would have been the same sort of thing if we did actually get the Witches of Riverdale showing up, that it would have been Lily Reinhardt and Madeline Petsch and Camila Mendes, but not exactly playing the characters from Riverdale.
Yeah, and I think that's a fun, to be able to play fast and loose with a continuity that everyone expects to be sort of sanctified is fun. I think it's a more fun choice.
I agree. We immediately get another Easter egg right after that when Mrs. Curtis who is works at the school, I guess, warns Harvey and his friends about the Battle of Bads, shows them a poster, says the last time this happened, this went bad, and it was Satanic Panic, who we meet later in the episode, versus the Fredheads.
Yes.
Which was Fred Andrews' band from back in the day that we saw in the flashback episode of the Midnight Club over on Riverdale. So again, just all over the place.
Just fun.
Fun stuff.
Just fun.
It's fun.
Very fun.
Fun. Can we say fun a couple more times?
It's fun.
Just fun.
Fun.
TV is
fun. And then
fun.
Vinegar Tom comes back. So Vinegar Tom comes back, and this is the warning sign that Mamba Marie needs to know the reason she is in Greendale. She is here to stop the returning of the dead, and then warns everybody, the main thing you got to do is not upset them. Just do whatever they say.
Yeah.
Keep them calm. What did you think about this tag? Because this is definitely a very different sort of zombie movie that they did in this episode.
I liked the sort of the premise of these zombies, where you have to, as long as you let them believe that they're still alive, they won't try to murder you. But the minute you remind them that they have died, they want to stab you. That's fun because it plays on the emotional side of all of this, of all these characters having to encounter the people they've lost.
Now, I have another question about this, which I wasn't quite sure about. So Mamba Marie announces that beyond this, what she needs to do, her job, is to challenge the Eldritch Terror here to a game of, I think it's Tenet, the movie by Christopher Nolan, but Senet. And if she wins, they're safe. And if the Returned wins, they lose. We find out that the Returned, or the being that she's challenging later on, is Lazarus from the Bible. So my question is Lazarus the Returned, the Eldritch Terror, or are these bodies who are returning, are they the Eldritch Terror, or does it matter?
Or is the game Senet the Eldritch Terror, because, you know, that looks like a scary game.
The movie Tenet is definitely an Eldritch Terror, I will say that.
Yes.
Whoa, dude, easy, come on.
Christopher Nolan forcing people to go to theaters just to watch them die. It's fucked up, man.
Oh, that got dark fast.
I was confused about this as well, because it does seem like Mamba Marie plays this dude sort of Queen's Gambit style a lot for different people's souls and to keep
and
the
also,
dead.
Doesn't look like Mamba Marie is very good at it or understands the game as well as the silver dollar eyes Lazarus thing.
I think they're probably supposed to be evenly matched. We don't see a ton of the game necessarily. No, you disagree, Pete?
Yeah, I feel like, I would have been nice if, maybe it's Queen's Gambit's fault where I want to see how it's played. I want to, what I mean? Somebody eat some drugs and then watch something happen on the ceiling a little bit so we can understand.
I love to eat drugs. Do you guys want to eat some drugs after this?
Yeah, I just ate a bunch of drugs.
Smart.
I do it for every podcast.
Yeah. By the way, Pete, you're a chess master now, right? After watching Queen's Gambit?
Well, after eating a bunch of drugs, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I can fly. go ahead, Justin.
Sorry, getting back onto that. And it's also interesting, as is revealed later, but we don't quite get it at this point, Mamba Marie is playing for the dead side. She's like, the dead should die. And Lazarus is like, the dead should just do whatever they want. They should rise up and live forever.
Yeah.
Well, they say the dead will never go back to the grave, which is a crazy statement.
Mm. Yeah. Well, once you're out, you're out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like the mob.
Yeah.
Right? They say that. Pete, are you getting a phone call? What's going on?
Yes, I was.
I was doing a little dance break.
Is it McRib calling you?
I wish I would answer that call. I don't care what podcast I'm doing. If McRib calls, I pick up.
Hey, Pete, it's me, the McRib. Did you order me today? Because I've been waiting for you to order me. I love you.
Oh, my God. If that happened, I would have to order it every day.
I like that we have a little McRib continuity flowing through this season of this podcast.
Just like the McRib is flowing through Pete's veins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So then we get a really fun, just lo-fi effect scene that I really enjoyed. It was very classic 80s, 90s horror movie where Harvey finds a cursed guitar
His
garage that opens up the gates of hell. And we just get the very classic red light below him shining up, wind blowing. Super fun. And Satanic Panic walks out of the gates of hell. They've come back. And they also look like a classic 80s band. And we get a couple of things. I'll sort of jump around here. But basically, Harvey's dad is pissed. As we mentioned earlier, the Stone Philosophers are practicing. Satanic Panic kills them. Again, we get a very classic Brett Weston Wallace trying to get out of the room, being grabbed and pulled back.
Loved it.
Scraping on the floor shot.
Very good. I also want to say, in the next scene, the kids are hanging out, the gang's hanging out, and they're like, I guess the Stone Philosophers backed out of the Battle of the Bands. Do you think that Brett Weston Wallace, with his dying breath, crawled out of that room, went up to the sign-up sheet, and then crossed Stone Philosophers out?
Yeah.
And then crawled back and was pulled back into the room to his death?
He's very responsible, as we saw in Riverdale.
Because what I'm saying is it's very strange that everyone knew the band had dropped out, but did not know that they were murdered in the school.
Where they were.
Yeah.
Where they were currently standing.
I don't know. It's suspicious, to say the least.
Yeah.
You I do think... love that over on Riverdale, there's a whole thing where, like, maybe Jughead gets murdered and the Stonewall kids get blamed in its entire plot line. Here, the Stonewall kids get straight up murdered in school, and everybody's like, eh.
Yeah. Hey, Battle of the Bands is canceled.
Yeah. Man, that's the real concern.
So Sabrina gets to see the next returned. It's none other than her father, Edward, who is hard at work. We get some great reactions, I thought, from Aunt Zelda, who, as usual, Miranda Otto killing it, just showing multiple emotions at the same time, relief and excitement and nervousness, and she almost speaks at a higher, younger voice when she knows Edward is there because she misses them. I thought this was great.
Great.
Yeah.
This episode, like we said earlier, had so much in it. And it really let the characters deal with a lot of their own issues, but still out in front of everybody. And you see Sabrina really just struggling with this idea that her father doesn't have time for her. And Everett's sort of like, yeah, that was his whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I think this is also more than Vinegar Tom and more than... Well, actually, maybe any – they do a nice job over the course of the episode of slowly building up that things are kind of off with the different members of the Returned, and that's really the first hint we get with Edward of he's just working. He doesn't see anything wrong, so that we know things are wrong. And, of course, this is jumping ahead, but later on, Sabrina does her classic, like, fucking things up immediately move, which is ridiculous. I was thinking about it while watching this episode in particular, where, like, if Sabrina was in an alien movie, she would definitely be the person to be like, hey, what's in this egg? Let me poke this egg.
Let me let it sit in my face for a second, and then...
yeah, let's see what happens.
Anybody else feel anything bursting out of their chest right now? I'm fine with
then, that. But then Mr. C's mom comes back.
Yes.
And this is Psycho, right? Like, I think that's what we're playing with here.
Yeah.
Potentially, because the mother, she's clearly a little off. She meets Hilda, seems pleasant enough, but then gives a look towards Hilda, saying that she killed all of Dr. C's old girlfriends. Probably so true, right?
It was played for true. Like, I don't think the Return, they don't lie. The dead don't lie.
I don't know. Because Sabrina said at the end of the episode, like, that wasn't my dad. Like, I don't know if that's really them or a demon kind of playing the role, you know. But it was the way it was held true was interesting. The way, like, all the other actors, like, the way Mr. C is to his mom makes it seem like it was real.
Yeah. It's Dr. C, by the way. He didn't go through...
Eight-year-olds,
8 years of spooky medical school.
Yeah.
To be called Mr. C.
He didn't fight the Cylons in space to be known as Mr. C.
Yeah. Put some respect in your mouth, Pete. We skipped over the most important part, though. After Lilith hears some weird crying in the wall, she's going a little nuts. And it's also not 100% clear whether Adam is in the walls or she's imagining this.
Right. The Lilith storyline in this episode is legitimately scary. I thought this was like the most, the freakiest part. All of the Lilith stuff.
Also, she asked Caliban if he hears that, and like he doesn't hear it, so maybe it's just in her head.
Yeah, he might also have a bunch of clay in his ears.
Well, they make Q-tips for that. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. But let's not skip over this. Finally, after half an episode, Dorcas returns. It's so exciting. She's come in. She's still covered in blood, unlike everybody else who is completely fine and cleaned off. She's the one that slathered in blood, which raises some questions about how they left her body, I guess. But Agatha is approached by Dorcas, and we get to see them relating. I got to tell you, I know we do, just to pull the curtain back a little bit. We joke about things a little bit. But when they linked pinkies, when she linked pinkies with Prudence, I got a little choked up.
Wow.
I missed it. It was sad.
Yeah, and I got to say, Dorcas really feels like dying was the best thing that could have happened to her. Like I mean that sort of seriously. She seems much more mature in this episode.
She's always been that way.
Death becomes her.
Oh boy.
Like your favorite movie.
Exactly. I find every way to bring that up. I'm sorry I'm so bashful about it, but I decided to bring it up.
It's a great movie. Everybody should definitely check it out. Don't check it out. It's terrible. So where were we? So Satanic Panic, of course, challenges Fright Club. They are classic 80 bullies. And that's when we get a flashback. We get an explanation with Rosslyn playing Harvey's dad as younger. He's Punk in Satanic Harvey. Panic. He was in the band so that they could use his garage because I guess they hadn't invented the room in the school yet. And Lucifer comes in. It just ridiculous John Travolta out of Saturday Night Fever outfit.
Oh, yeah.
They continue to just have so much fun with Lucifer in these final episodes. He comes in and says, all they got to do is kill a girl and they will become famous. And Harvey's dad doesn't participate, but he also doesn't stop them, right?
Yeah. Well, and when Harvey's dad tells Harvey the story over coffee, like in the morning, I was like, I feel like Harvey and his dad say very little to each other. And then Harvey's dad is like, you want to hear a fucking story, kid? And it's this like crazy intense story about his life and how he sort of assisted in the death of the prom queen. Yeah, it's wild.
That's insane.
So super fun sequence. We do get that flashback. And as Pete mentioned, Satanic Panic in classic monkey's paw fashion were burnt to death in a barn before they could become famous. So they went down to hell. Then we go over to the scene where Sabrina starts poking the alien egg, so to speak, with Edward after specifically being told, don't upset the return. She's like, hey, I'm your daughter. By the way, this is the future. You died. What's going on? Let's hang out with each other. And he throws back at her. She's the daughter of Satan. You're not my daughter. Tries to kill her. Pretty soon after that, she gets the same sort of scene with Lucifer, where Lucifer also rejects her. So overall, hard episode for Sabrina.
And but we don't really get to see the effects of this sort of like double father situation on her. I'm curious if we'll pick that up next episode because she's too busy like just rocking out later on.
Yes.
To deal with
it. I wish they had spent a little more time on this episode because it felt like an emotionally meaty thing they could have dug into.
And it does feel like it's supporting her journey this season of being sort of isolated from all of the people that she cares about.
What was nice, though, is Auntie Z saves Sabrina. So that was pretty cool from her dad there before things got too hairy.
And we get a couple of weirdness things from the returned. Dorcas realizes she was the one who killed Agatha, goes to kill her with scissors. Prudence stops her. The mother is sitting downstairs perfectly still, covered in flies. Hilda fights her. And Dr. C and Hilda lock the mom in a closet. Meanwhile,
that was pretty funny though, how that like, Dr. C was like, you know, I'm almost, wish she didn't come back. Like they had, like, it was pretty tense there with, I was worried about Dr. C and how much he was into his mom, and not respecting Hilda. But then when she was in the closet, he made a nice little joke to let us know he's still, holds Hilda above all others.
Well, I mean, he lived through the whole thing with the Cylons, so he's used to a little darkness.
That's right.
Then Caliban approaches Lilith. We get Justin's favorite theatrical convention. A Deus Ex Machina shows up. Doesn't hear Adam, as we mentioned, but Lilith says, hey, get me the Spear of Golgotha. And I believe what she says is she'll renounce any claim to the throne of hell. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like sort of plot things happening here, but what it amounts to, I think, was worth it.
Yes.
Now,
yes, Pete.
Next, very excited that we're really using the fire entrances and exits. This is just great. I'm glad that we're at the level now at Sabrina where we're just fire entrance, fire exit. Just fun. Just have some fun with it.
There were a lot of fire exits here.
It was great.
It took me a second to think about, realize what you were saying, because we're about to go to a school scene, and I was like, did they walk in and out of the fire exit there? Did they set it off? Oh, I know what he means.
Yeah. When Pete says, I'm going to go out the fire exit, he snaps his fingers and tries to conjure a wall of flame to vanish.
Keep eating those McRibs, and maybe it'll happen.
Yeah. Exactly. Fingers crossed.
Then we get into the meat of the end here, speaking of fake meat. Theo explains they found the Stone Philosopher's dead, so we finally loop back around to that. Satanic Panic has Harvey's dad, and they want to do a battle of the bands to the death. So they decide the only thing they could do is they could get Robin back. He says, sure, I left for Fairy Forever. Last episode, I'm back now. That's cool. Let's do it. Always happy to come back for you. Sabrina talks to Lucifer, wants help. He rejects her, as we talked about.
I love how into the band Lucifer is. He's still like, no, I haven't changed my mind about Satanic Panic after all these years. They're glorious.
He's a good manager.
He
that is.
Is
an underrated part of Lucifer that nobody really talks about.
Yeah, if you really listen to the song The Devil Went Down to Georgia, he ends up repping the guy with the golden fiddle, and he has quite a fiddle career.
Yeah. His second single, not great.
Oh, wow. That's true. But surprisingly, Little Fiddle. He was trying to move away from that fiddle sound.
Yeah. He was doing, it was an EDM album, right?
Exactly. His fans were like, bring back fiddle. Bring back the fiddle.
So,
Little Fiddle.
Then we get a little bit of business. Caliban gives Lilith the spear to kill herself. We also find that the Lazarus is the returned, the same thing as we mentioned earlier. And then we get our battle of the bads. This is crazy to me.
Wait, I love
the sequence.
Wait. Yes, I do love the fact that Auntie Z was like, hey, Lilith, before you kill yourself, I just want to let you know what's going on outside of this room, just in case this applies to you or your life at any particular time. Like, you know, it was kind of crazy. Every time Lilith was about to end it, it was like, well, one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Classic Apple presentation move from Auntie Z. what I was going to say about the Battle of the Bands, though, is the original, well, one of the original ideas for Riverdale was that the first season would be a lead up to the Battle of Bands between the Archies and Josie and the Pussycats.
Right.
Then they added in the whole murder plot. Obviously, the show changed pretty radically. But that was one of the directions they were discussing. And there was always a plan to do Battle of Bands sometime down the road, to the point that I think there was supposed to be one in season 4, and I guess they never got around to it again.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to me that they actually got to it on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina first.
Like in one episode, went from zero to battle in one episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With surprise bands and everything.
And this is great.
The so time fun. Warp song.
I really like this.
Like, I'm glad we got kind of a little bit of each one of them. Like, Robin was killing it. Roz was killing it. Theo, Harvey, like, I'm glad we spent a little time, but we didn't, like, the song didn't stretch on too long. It was really tight and well done.
Well, we've talked about this before, but one of the things that I think Sabrina does really well is it actually does almost the full songs of these things.
Yeah,
there's a tendency to cut in other scenes on other TV shows, do like a minute of the song so you don't get the full thing. So I agree with you, they didn't go on too long, but we really got most of these numbers for all three bands, which was crazy.
And honestly, I can't believe, while I love all of these songs, even Satanic Panic is perfectly like high school punk, or it's not all that punky. It's sort of just like a fun little song. It's more like Blink 182 than some like...
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Rebellious.
Yeah, party time.
So I thought that was very fun. And then Time Warp was so good.
Yeah.
Like, that legit was great.
Here's the problem. Time Warp was so good that when we get to... 100%. I mean, Lucifer saying Satanic Panic is going to win is like, sure, of course, yeah. Lucifer's going to do that. But then Sabrina comes in and says, we're the Dark Mothers, and they do Sweet Child of Mine. It's a whole way of bringing in the dead prom queen, having the prom queen sending Satanic Panic back to hell, and it's a whole trick. And they say they snatched the Battle of the Band, and they mm-hmm. won. They didn't win.
No.
Fright Club destroyed them.
Like that Sweet yes. Child of Mine's clearly a crowd pleaser, but they did a slowed down, very chill
version. Yeah, it was
a
slow kind of jam of it a little bit.
But I will say the Dark Mothers had the right look. They got you got Nick Scratch on lead guitar. Of course he's lead guitar. Ambrose crushing the drums. Sabrina looking like a front woman, like you wouldn't believe. The look was there. Music, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all fun. They were all fine. I was happy with all of them, but it was just in terms of the arc of the thing. Time Warp was so amazing. It was anything would have been a come down at that point. But in the middle of all that, we get the payoff of the Spear of Golgotha. Mamba Marie actually loses to Lazarus. Lilith interrupts. He won't give Adam back. Lazarus wins. Lilith stabs him with the spear and he dies. Oh, I'm sorry. It was the spear of Longinus, not the spear of Golgotha. I think I wrote it down the wrong last time.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is important, Pete.
Okay. It's a fucking spear. I wanted to kind of talk about the fact of like after the Battle of the Band.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll stab you with the spear and then I'll stab you with the spear of Longinus. And I guess we'll see what happens.
We'll see
what
happens.
If you're like, it's just a fucking spear.
It's a fucking spear. Whichever one you want to stab him with is fine. I love the fact where Lucifer was like, you know, Sabrina was like, why don't you go to hell? And he was like, I think I will. Fire exit. Fantastic.
Fire exit. I thought it was fun that when Peggy Lou Cox shows up, Sim Cox, and she sends the Satanic Panic back to hell, no one even stops playing. They're just fuck yeah, great pyro
in this
act. But
she didn't send them to hell. They were still standing there just all burnt-faced.
Yeah. She burned them down.
No, she sent them to hell, didn't she?
She burned them.
She set them on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, she set them on fire, but then they were still standing there.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. I guess I missed that. Also, did you see that Elspeth was back? She was hanging out with Melvin, so she was one of the returned as well.
I say. Melvin.
Very exciting.
Melvin's
Darkus and
row.
Elspeth in the same episode. Very
Come on.
Cool.
Wow. The fans what must have been losing it. Yeah.
So Battle Band is over. Harvey frees his dad. His dad finally accepts his music. Is like, man, you were great. That was great. This is a normal situation I'm in. And then we have a twist. So weird. I don't even know what to think of it. Mambo Marie talks to Auntie Z and reveals that she's actually Baron Samdi.
Yep.
Gives her a cup to call her or something if they ever need any help. I don't know exactly what's going on there. And then brings all the returned back to the grave and turns into Baron Samdi. This was weird.
I was like, what is going on? But then when we saw Baron Samdi, I was like, oh, man, that is a... amazing looking character.
Yeah, it's a badass look, but I was like, they treated Baron Samedi like it was someone we knew. And we've never, this show has never had him. It's like, I'm secretly a different person, someone you don't know. It was like a sort of a strange reveal. And I think he basically gave her like a Yahtzee cup.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also strange, and I'm curious to hear what people think about this one. I'm sure people are talking about it by the time we put up this episode, but. The idea that you had this great LGBTQ relationship, people have been pushing for Auntie Z to be with hashtag Madam Spellman for a really long time. They wanted her to be with Madam Satan. They didn't get that, but they did get her with Mambo Marie. The fact that Mambo Marie turns out to be a dude is strange. It puts a little bit of a twist in that, I would say. I don't necessarily have a judgment call, but I feel like that might not sit the right way with people.
Yes,
Justin,
I agree.
And it's not just like a little, like, I don't know if you were a kid when you did a little cup with a little string in it. That's how you kind of, you know, it's old school telephone.
Oh,
yeah,
you think
oh,
it's...
she was basically like gave her the wrong number at a bar because she just handed her a cup with no string. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice. Okay. Just left one digit off. to your point, Alex, I agree with you. It's And it the move doesn't support any other plot details besides that we unless
know of yet.
That we know of, yeah, that's a great point, Pete. Maybe Baron Samedi will come back.
Huge maybe next it, episode.
Maybe it's a connection to Cloak and Dagger, one of our favorite shows that featured the
Great
Loa.
Show.
Great show.
Yeah, we should ask our man on the street, Brett Macris, if he knows anything about this.
Yes, if you haven't listened to our Cloak and Dagger podcast, this is not a joke. We had a chef in New Orleans named Brett Macris who gave us the real-life New Orleans from that show. We should have done the same thing with Greendale, now that I think about it, with Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and we know a chef there, too.
Yeah, we have a network of chefs all across this fictional nation that we call America.
But at the end of the app, though, we realize that we've done all this crazy work just so we can get Vinegar Tom back. I mean, that's the big win.
Yes. Zelda does get Vinegar Tom. That's a little bit nicer than the cup. Also, Nick makes Harvey's dad forget. Theo asks Robin to stay, and Robin says, of course.
He goes, that's all I've ever wanted. And I'll come on.
Great. And Lilith hears Adam, maybe, continuing that bizarre storyline.
Yes.
So there we go. Two episodes to go.
Well,
in this show.
I don't want you to. I can't believe you're walking past us without saying anything. But Dorcas whispers something to Agatha, and Agatha's sane again.
Yes.
And Dorcas gets just walked. She's like, "Get out of here, dead one."
Well, that's the
what
thing.
Do you think
like
Dorcas whispered to her.
Dorcas said,
"Come be on my new show. Come be on this other show."
Hey, Dorcas, Fate the Winx Saga is going to be on Netflix this January. Check it out.
Dorcas is so powerful, they couldn't keep her on the show. That's what it is. I mean, Dorcas is the most powerful, biggest character on the show, and they have to keep getting her off because otherwise the episodes would be so quick because she could solve all the problems.
You know? It's like how they killed Optimus Prime in Transformers the movie. They had to get him out of the way to bring on Rodimus.
Right.
Wow. A reference I don't want to get. I think what she whispered was...
Dare to be stupid.
I think she was like, what's my character's name again? It's such a small role. I don't even remember
what it is on this show. That's not true.
Do you know your line? I don't... Do I have a line here?
Was I killed last season? I don't remember how
I think she whispers, you're not out of your mind in this world. And then she
was probably like, Agatha, more like Bagatha.
Oh.
Agatha was like, what?
Yeah. It was such a sick burn. It was such a sick burn. It drove her sane.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts about this episode since so much went on before we start to wrap up here? Anything?
It was just crazy that Harvey's dad had this Agent Evil guitar that was just kind of in the corner of a garage.
I mean, you can find the wildest things in your parents' garage. I suggest everybody take a look, but just be careful.
Yeah, that's right. I found an old yearbook full of some fucked up
as we
stuff.
Start Wait, to wrap up. Oh, yes, Pete.
I just had a question. Like, was a weird moment when they were playing Senate that the roll? It's like all we need is a three or higher, and then she rolled a three. I was like, why didn't you just say all we needed was a three? You know what I mean? Like, it was this drama of like three or higher. If you're just gonna be the three, just say three. So it's just easier to understand.
I don't think that was confusing.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Let me ask you, Pete, what are you worried about in that?
Well, it was like three or higher. Like, okay, but like.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it wasn't.
So would you want the line to have been like, you need to roll a three or a five, four or a five or a six, which are the different options you could get that could be higher than three?
No, it just. Though I don't know, it just seemed like a weird kind of like it almost made like the three was okay. It's like three or higher. Like, oh, all right. Well, if the three, maybe it's not as bad, but it just seemed
You're saying that they should have said, don't roll a two or a one.
No, they should have just been like, whatever you do, if you roll three, it's over. All right, great. It's a three, it's over. You know what I mean? Like, let's be clear.
Or if they said, whatever you do, just don't throw the dice out the window.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have specified that it wasn't a D20 or something like that. This was a D6. They should have said that out loud.
Yeah. How many sides are we working with? That way we know how high up it goes. What kind of drama is this? You know, like if it's a three-sided die and it's three or higher, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, but
You did some ghostwriting on the new Mission Impossible, right? And wrote that how many sides are we working with line?
If you actually, for my cruise. Only writing is in Die Hard, where they have to the different gallon jug challenge, and they got to figure out how to get 3 gallons in a
Your original draft of Die Hard was all about dice.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would you even have a three-sided die?
Yo ho ho, now I have a D20. All right, which witch reigns supreme this episode? Pete, we'll start off with you. Which witch reigned supreme?
I think I know where this is going. Question, Dorcas for life. Also Vinegar Tom.
Man, whatever Justin is about to say, you cannot have a bigger slab than putting Vinegar Tom and Dorcas on the same shelf.
Exactly. Wow. Just a quick follow-up question. Which was your favorite spell that Vinegar Tom cast in this episode?
Well, it was the fact that Vinegar Tom was an Eldritch Terror and no one gave a fuck the whole time.
I think Vinegar Tom cast a spell over you because you love dogs. Mm-hmm. Must love dogs.
Justin, you got one? Let's see. Which witch reigns supreme?
I mean, I'm going to give it up for all of Fright Club because they just, they brought it in this episode to the point where I couldn't believe how good their version of Time Warp was.
Robin was just so great, man.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Since Pete already took a girl, Dorcas, I'm going to call out the Stone Philosophers. It was just fun seeing them again.
Wow.
No, I love them. I like those actors. The Stonewall storyline on Riverdale was great. I was bummed when it was over, and it was fun to see them again. And their strut that they did when they're walking in the room was just delightful.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that is it for this time. We are beginning to wrap up the season here Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Very nervous. 2 episodes left at this point. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. It used to be 8 p.m.
It used to be 7:30.
And briefly, it was at 7:30. We did it at 9 as well. We didn't bring that up at the beginning of
no,
the show.
No, that never happened. Never
The
happened.
Best way to promote a show is to offer a series of times when it does and also does not happen.
Tuesday at 7 p.m.
We need Lucifer to come in here and manage this group right
now. Yeah, we do.
I'll kill anybody. I don't care. I want to be famous. 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. Socially, we got some Riverdale
Justin,
socials
look out
that we also do. What?
Justin, look out behind you.
What?
Oh, there's a little person behind you.
Oh, my child.
I thought he was going to get run up on and stabbed.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's wearing a
princess dress. Yeah, you can't trust anybody in a princess dress. You're going to hurt people.
She can't hear us all talking, and she thinks I'm a crazy person.
Yep.
Great. Where were we? At Riverdale After on Twitter, at Riverdale Dark on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, fire exit!